I'm proud of you folks. So many of you got your clock set right and got to church on time.
Amen.
Y'all doing good.
Amen.
And I just pray that the Lord blesses you as we worship together, as we celebrate Jesus together. If there's anybody out in the parking lot, or if there are those that listen later on the website, we pray that you're blessed as well as you worship the Lord with us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, to know the blessings that are ours because of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this day. We thank you for each person that's here, members, visitors alike. And Father, we thank you that the same Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, whether we're the oldest person here or one of the younger ones, whether we're a member or a visitor, same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit that might speak to someone that's listening in the parking lot or someone's listening on the website. And so, Lord, you know our needs, you know our situations, you know how much you care about us and love us. And so, Father, I pray now that the Spirit of God would glorify and lift up Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Ed. It's good to see you all this morning. If you're here to visitors, you're certainly our honored and special guest this morning. We, as always, we do our hymn sing at this time, and as Easter time is approaching with us, I picked out the old rugged cross, and I can't think of a better one for Easter time. So let's all stand, please, and sing the old rugged cross. We're going to sing all four verses.
Of so
Everybody said, amen. Amen. Welcome someone this morning. Well, good morning. I have some announcements I want to share with you at this time. The first thing I want to talk about is the youth night. Youth night will be March the 10th, and that would be tonight. And we're excited that our youth are scheduled to for March the, on the 3rd and the 10th, then from 5 to 7. And all school-age children and youth, welcome. Bible study and youth choir practice along with supper served starting at 5. Come and join and bring a friend. I'm getting younger all the time, Grant. I could come. Thank you, Grant. You have anything you want to add to that, Grant?
No, sir.
All right. Okay. All right. We have a call conference. Now, it'll be scheduled for next Sunday, the 17th. And this call conference is going to be to approve the nominating committee for the coming year. And we appreciate those who agreed to keep their job and continue on with the nominating committee. And you'll be able to approve them next Sunday. Choir practice. That's about time I got to announce a choir practice. We're back. We're going to try our very, very best with God's help and God's blessings, and we're going to revive our choir. And so tonight we will start with our first rehearsal tonight at 6, and then we're going to come back again and rehearse again a week of, I think it's the 24th. But anyway, you'll be hearing more about that. But be sure to come tonight. Come and be with us tonight for choir practice. And then on Annie Armstrong, our Annie Armstrong Easter offering is, it'll be starting and also will continue through the month of April. So if you hadn't had a chance to give, please, there's still plenty of time to do so. Do we have an amount so far?
$8.50.
Thank you, Angie. $8.50. It's a good start. Very good start. Okay. Now, the Golden Agers, and I are one. It's nice to know that I'm. But the Golden Agers will have a meal at Rocky River Springs Fish House. It'll be Thursday, March the 21st, and meet at the church at 4:45 at the carpool to the fish house if you prefer to meet there. If you plan to go, please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet, Miss Brenda, right out here. So please come and go with us, and we'll have some good fish. I'll put a plug in for them. I'd as soon to have fish over there as any place I know of, and it's really good. I enjoy it over there. Okay, Palm Sunday. We got a busy time. Palm Sunday with the children and the youth. Our children and the youth will be leading the music on Sunday, March the 24th, and we will practice March the 10th during the youth night and March the 17th during Sunday school to prepare for this special time. So youth, we're looking forward to you leading out on the music. That's wonderful, wonderful. And also in other things that you'll be sharing with us on Palm Sunday. We're going to do Monday, Thursday service. We'll be on March the 28th, and we will be part of that. Will also be communion, and we'll do communion the old way with that. And then we'll then with that. So I want you to be here. It will not be a Wednesday night Bible study. This will be in the Monday service will be in lieu of that. Okay, children, youth, egg hunt. Oh my goodness, this is exciting. Please join us for Easter egg hunt here at the church, beginning at the 10th on March the 30th. Bring your Easter baskets and invite your friends. Bring your family, grandchildren, and so forth. Everybody be here. Come for the Easter egg hunt. That'd be great. All right, Easter service. We are going to have our Easter sunrise service, and I have a schedule for you, and it's in the bulletin, so you can do that. And so first thing we'll do, cooks, if you you cooks, you need to be here at 5:30. And so Jeff will, yeah, you, and he wants to meet with you all down front, right after service today, the Baptist men, okay? So be sure before you go that way, you come this way. All right. And then continuing on with the Easter sunrise service, it will be at 7. The sunrise service will be at 7. And then at 7:30, we'll have breakfast, and it's not going to be donuts. We're going to have the bacon sausage, and we'll have grits and eggs and all the above. So
will there be donuts, though?
We could have a donut, Will. Yeah, if you want one, I can get you one. I don't think it'll be Krispy Kreme, Will, but we'll get you a donut. I'll get you. You want it, it'll be here. All right. All right, then at the 8:30, let's remember the 8:30 we'll have our worship service. From breakfast, we'll, at 7:30 we'll go into our worship service at 8:30. There'll be no Sunday school on Easter Sunday service, okay? So that is the schedule as it stands right now. So please invite someone and bring someone with you for our Easter service. That would be wonderful. Okay? Are there any announcements I may have overlooked? I don't know how I could have, but did I? All right. Okay, then we'll go to our prayer requests this morning. I have a few that I have been given, and there's one that I want to add to it. Is Debbie Duncan. Debbie, you won't know Debbie. She's a friend of ours from Kannapolis, and she's a very good friend of ours and for Don and I, and she has been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So let's keep her in the family in our prayers. Rosina is still sick, and she just can't get better, seems like, and she keeps trying and trying very hard. But let's remember Rosina. I talked to her a little bit this week, and she's not feeling well, so let's keep her in mind. Miss Kathy is out this morning. Let's remember her. She's under the weather this morning. Let's keep praying for her, okay? Do we have others this morning? Yes. Mike. Yeah, okay, all right. And so he's in hospice care. Okay, are there others? Unspoken, I have that, okay, yes.
I have a couple of prayers.
Okay.
For over 20 years now, I've been praying for my brother and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
That they would get right with the Lord and go back into church. And as of last Sunday, they both have been attending different churches because they live in different cities.
Okay. Brother and his sister. How about that? That's a double blessing, isn't it? That's wonderful. Great double praise. I like that. Anywhere else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. And Lord, we always thank you. Before we ever ask you for anything, Lord, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the many, many blessings, Lord, we can't even count. Thank you for this time you've given us, Lord, to be together in worship and remembering you, Lord, as we enter into Easter season. Lord, we do thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for salvation. And Lord, we thank you for the resurrection as we go forward into Easter. But now, Father, we ask a special blessing upon our service today. We pray for Pastor Ed as he stands before us and the music as we continue on. But then, Lord, there are those who have asked specifically for there's a need, and I want to lift those needs up to you, Lord. We pray for Debbie Duncan, Lord, who's been diagnosed with Parkinson. We pray for Rosina, who's continued to be sick. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would touch her body and give her healing, we pray. We pray for Kathy this morning, who is under the weather. We pray for her. And then we pray for Mike this morning, who has been turned to hospice care. Lord, we know your will be done there, Lord, and we just ask that you'd be with the family, Lord, as they are during this difficult time. And then, Lord, for the praise report that we had for Pastor Jim, for his brother and sister, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you for the answer of prayer. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, most of all, Lord, for being who you are, that awesome, awesome God, who has the power to forgive sin and restore us as new. Now, Father, again, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you for this time that we've been together. And now, Lord, we pray in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's go here, praise team. We're going to we're going to go trio this morning. One of our members is out. Pray Kathy, who we prayed already.
Well, good morning. I want to introduce this song, and you know, when we get up here on Sunday mornings, we don't get up here to entertain. That's not our, you know, that's not our thing that we want to do. But we get up here to bring a message in song, and today is no different. You know, sometimes our songs are fast, peppy, happy songs, and sometimes our songs are more I guess you'd say reverent and more, I don't know another word to say besides reverent, but they're softer and thought-provoking. But as we were getting together the other night to pick out something for today, you know, we're in our Easter season right now. And, you know, that's the most holy Christian holiday there is. We have Christmas. We love it. You know, and without Christmas, we couldn't have Easter. But without Easter, we couldn't have eternal life. So, and with that being said, and getting into this Easter season, you know, we want to prepare our hearts. We want to get our hearts right. And I hope this song will help us to do that. And to me, this song is a prayer. There's not a big amen at the end of it, but just the words are so prayerful. And the name of the song is Bathe Me in Your Light. Now, my introduction is going to be as long as the song. But that's anyway.
That's okay.
Bathe Me in Your Light. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. And he is the only thing that can help us to overcome sin and darkness. Mm-hmm. And so we need that light in our life. And then the second verse talks about flood me with your love. And when we think about a flood, we think about something that's overflowing, something that is an overwhelming amount. And to me, this verse says, let your love overtake me. You know, open our hearts and let that love overtake me. And then the last verse is, wash me in your truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is our path to the Father. And this phrase says, let us know your truth. Let us know that way. The words of this song are very simple. It's not a long song. The music is beautiful. It flows really sweet. But to me, the message is very powerful. And I hope that we can present this song in a way that the message will be conveyed to you guys as much as it was to us as we rehearsed the song. So, again, the title of the song is Bathe Me in Your Light.
Bathe me in your light.
Children, you're dismissed.
We didn't get the clock back there changed, so I guess I can preach for an hour and a half. When I preach for an hour and a half, you'll be shocked. That reminds me, years and years ago, I was preaching a revival. And every night they had a group like the Towers come in and sing for 30 minutes or 45, and then I preached. Well, on the last night, the singing group didn't show up. And, you know, here at like 5 minutes after the service started, they said, okay, preacher Ed. And I'd preached five sermons on the second coming, so that night I preached all five of them. Parts of them, you know, just... trying to fill in the gap. This morning, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. It's a familiar passage, and yet you might, when I began, think, well, boy, this is sure out of place this close to Easter. And yet, I believe, before we get done, I can make it apply to Easter. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you shall bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the moan came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded upon me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now you know this story. The Lord takes Ezekiel out to a valley. Evidently at some point, maybe there'd been a military battle fought there, and nobody had come back to bury the dead. And over a period of months and years out in the sun, all of these human bodies had decayed and there was nothing but bones left. And evidently so much had happened that the bones no longer were joined to each other, like, you know, the hand to the wrist, to the arm, and to the shoulder, just all scattered out there, a tremendous mess. It says there were many of them, and it says they were dry, very dry. In other words, they'd been there a while. They'd been there a while. And then the Lord asked Ezekiel a question, can these bones live? Now, if Ezekiel was like I would have been, and probably you would have been, I'd have thought, no way. No way. But Ezekiel had enough sense and enough leading of the Lord to say, Lord, you're the only one that knows. You see, Ezekiel knew the power of God, but he didn't know the will of God. At that point, he didn't know what God's will was. So he knew what God could do, but he didn't know what God wanted to do. And so Ezekiel says, Lord, you're the only one that knows. And then the Lord says, okay, Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones, preach over these bones. Do you think Ezekiel looked around to see if anybody's looking at him? I mean, here he's over this valley with all of these bones, human skeletons. And God says, preach, prophesy. And I wonder if he thought, this is going to look really foolish. I'm out here preaching to a group of people that are long since passed away. And yet, he may have wondered, well, this is a waste of time. What's the purpose of this? Now, I've heard Leonard agree with me to this, but there's times I'm sure when he sung and there's been times when I preached that I might as well have been preaching to dry bones. You know, folks just didn't get it. It's like, you know, there was a plexiglass shield right here and everything I preached just hit that and just came back to me. There's no life, no spiritual life in the congregation. And that's a sad time and a sad way and a sad place to be. But he did what he was told to do. Ezekiel obeyed the Lord. Now I know that sometimes you have shared Jesus with somebody and they didn't get it either. It was just like talking to somebody that passed away. They just didn't get it. And you wonder, was that just a waste of time? Now, Ezekiel obeyed the Lord even when it didn't make sense. I heard a man, preacher, give his testimony and went something like this. It's been a number of years, so the details may be just a little off, but this is the way I remember it. He said the Lord called him to preach, gave him that first sermon. Somehow or another, the arrangements were made that he was go to this certain local school cafeteria, and there'd be a service, and he was supposed to preach at that service. So he works on his sermon. He gets the sermon together. On the appointed time, he goes to this school. The time for the service comes, and he's the only person there. He didn't even have a wife or a girlfriend with him. Just him. And he waited, and he waited. Maybe about 15 to 20 minutes after, nobody had showed up. Now, Ed Latter would have gotten the car and gone home, probably. But this man said, you know, God called me to preach. God sent me out here to preach. So he just stood up there in that empty cafeteria and preached a sermon that the Lord had given him to a bunch of empty chairs. And he went back later, and there were a few more people and a few more people, and now he's the pastor of one of the mega churches in the United States. One of the mega churches where, you know, 5,000 or 10,000 people show up every Sunday. Maybe have more than one service. Faithful. It didn't make sense to preach to an empty auditorium or an empty cafeteria, but he did. Because he said, you know, the Lord called me to preach. The Lord sent me here to this building to preach this afternoon, and I'm going to do it. And God rewarded his faithfulness. You know, to me, that's an encouragement to be faithful to the Lord no matter how unlikely it seems that you're going to be effective. God speaks to you and says, go share Jesus with this person. Go share Jesus with that person. Go share a word of warning, a word of encouragement, a word of love. And sometimes we think, well, Lord, I've been to them 10 times. Lord, they've rejected me. They've rejected me. They've rejected me. They've rejected Jesus. Lord, why would I keep going back? But you know, if the Lord sends us back, He's got a plan and a purpose. It may not seem like it to us, but God's got a plan and a purpose for us to keep going. Statistically, it takes about 40 times of witnessing for one person to accept Jesus. Now, one person may accept Jesus the first time they hear, but another may accept Jesus the 100th time they hear. But it usually takes a number of times before someone accepts Jesus. Now, let's go over to the book of Ephesians. And this is where we're going to bring in the Easter message. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. People without Jesus aren't just ignorant or stubborn. People without Jesus are spiritually dead. And a person who's spiritually dead has to be brought alive by the Lord Jesus Christ. A person without Jesus is hopeless and helpless. And you think about it. You can go down to the funeral home and look into the casket of anybody, and you can say nice things to them, and they don't respond. I've heard a few times somebody say hateful or ugly things, and they don't respond. A friend of mine who lost her husband a few years ago, she says, you know, ever so often, I just go to the cemetery and sit down beside of my husband's grave and just talk to him. Says, I know he's not listening, and I know he's not going to respond. Not listening in the sense of the human body. Now, he may be listening from heaven. But she says, you know, I feel better after I just sit there. Spiritually dead. A person who does not know Jesus, he doesn't say he's ignorant or he's, but he said he is dead in trespasses and sin. Just as dead spiritually as those dry bones that Ezekiel went to see in the valley. And apart from being made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to stay spiritually dead. And you know, those bones couldn't do a thing to change their situation. And that lost person, that spiritually dead, unsaved person, can't do a single thing to bring about his or her own salvation. Somebody's got to share the good news with them. Somebody's got to prophesy over them in a sense, speak to them. And every one of us here, at one time, you were spiritually dead. I think most everybody here that's old enough to accept Jesus has. But at one time, every one of us was spiritually dead. And then somebody, I'll just use the Ezekiel word, prophesied over us. It may have been a preacher. It may have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a parent. It may have been a friend. It may have been somebody that just knocked on your door. It may have been a special Christian book that was put in your hand, or a Bible. But some way or another, the Word of God came to you and you accepted Jesus and you were brought alive. And I don't know really how to explain it. Because we're at one place and we can't get to the other place without help. I was thinking about it sort of this morning like this. I can have the wooden door at the house open, the storm door up. And my little dog will bark if you come up the walk. But you and that little dog are separated by that door. But if I crack that door open and I'm not careful, that little dog gonna be on your leg. Not biting you, loving on you. But I got to crack the door for the little dog and you to get together. And that's the job of every believer. To crack the door so that we can bring together Jesus and those people that are spiritually dead. Now at that point, you could kick that little dog off the porch and say, I don't want anything to do with it. Or you could reach down and love on the little doggy. Your choice. And when somebody cracks the door to any lost person, they have a choice. Yes, I will receive Jesus. Or I will reject Jesus. Now the problem with rejecting Jesus is explained in the scripture, which says, he that being often reproved hardened his heart shall suddenly be cut off and without remedy. He says, in other words, there can be a point where we say no, 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 no to Jesus long enough. That it's too late. I'm thinking about a guy right now in my first church. And he always sat back about where Gary's sitting. And there were times when the invitation would be given and you could just see him grab the pew in front of him. But he never walked the aisle. 13 years later, when I left, he could just stand there. Hope this is over soon enough. I have no idea whether the man ever gave his heart and life to Jesus. He's since stepped out into eternity. But I know from the way he responded with invitations, and not just me preaching, revival preachers preaching, guest speakers speaking, that there were times that he was under conviction. There were times the door had opened by the Holy Spirit and he was at the point of receiving Jesus and he kept saying no. And over a period of years, I think his heart hardened and hardened and hardened. I hope and I pray that some pastor that came after me or some neighbor or somebody led him to Jesus and that he's in heaven, but I have no assurance. Don't you love verse 4? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, when we were dead in sin, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us, he made us alive with Christ by God's grace. God, who's rich in mercy. God could have ignored those dry bones. But God said, Ezekiel, you prophesy over them. And every person around us that does not know Jesus, God wants them to come to Jesus. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All he wants to come to repentance. But as Paul writes to the Romans, how shall they believe if they haven't heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he doesn't have to be an ordained preacher in a pulpit. Some of the greatest soul winners I know over the years. One of them just popped in my mind right now. I hadn't thought of Ernest in years. He and his brothers owned a oil company. You know, their drivers came out and filled up your oil tank. But I know at one time he was up past 500 people that he'd led to Jesus. That was his passion. To be used of the Lord to go to people who were spiritually dead and make them alive. God's grace took pity on you. God's grace had mercy on you. Now you're on your way to heaven. And God wants you and me to extend the same grace and the same mercy to the friends and neighbors and people that we work with so that they'll join us in heaven. You remember there in Ezekiel, after he prophesied, it says the bones came together. The hand joined to the wrist, to the arm, and to the skeleton. And then came the flesh and the skin. And then it says, but there still was no life in them. There was still no life in them. They looked good. Looked beautiful. Looked very strong. But there was no life in them. That tells me something. It doesn't matter how good a person looks. If they don't have the Spirit of God in them, they're still spiritually dead. You know, we can be a member of a church. We can be rich. Money coming, so much money we'd never spend it in 10 lifetimes. We can be handsome or beautiful. We can have education degrees on our wall, PhD and THD and all across the wall. We can be moral. We can be a good person. We can be well thought of. But apart from the Spirit of God in us, we are still spiritually dead. Now you see, there that group that after Ezekiel had prophesied, they came together. They came together, but still lifeless. And then the power of God, as Ezekiel prophesied through the wind, came and brought life. And as it brought life, it says they stood up on their feet, a great and mighty army. You know, we need to proclaim Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Lord. As Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man is born again, born from above, born of the Spirit, he cannot see eternal life. I remember a man, I was in his presence when somebody was witnessing to him, trying to share Jesus with him, and this man said, well, you know, when I get my life cleaned up, I'll give my heart and life to Jesus. When I think I can live the Christian life, I'll give my heart and life to Jesus. Folks, We can't clean up our own life. Oh, you know, we can change our habits a little bit. We can live a little differently. But we're still spiritually dead. We can look good, but until that Spirit of God, Paul writes to the Roman Christians, it says, unless the Spirit of God dwells in you, you don't belong to Him. The Spirit of God. It says when they were raised up, they became an exceeding great army. That old hymn is still right. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. That's what we ought to be. Look at the New Testament. Those that have turned the world upside down, they've come to our town too. Are we turning the world upside down for Jesus? Are we making a difference? Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw men to myself. It's not lifted, you know, it's wonderful to have a decent pastor. It's wonderful to have a nice building. It's wonderful to have good music. But it's Jesus we lift up. It's Jesus we lift up. And Jesus also said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Where two things happen. The word of God is proclaimed, and proclaimed in such a way that Jesus is lifted up, and where people hear it and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, that the church of God, a mighty army, is built. We are in a period of time in America where we're doing a lot of prettying up, but I'm afraid that a lot of people in a lot of churches are just prettied up, but don't have the Spirit of God within them. And yet there are parts of the world where the gospel is being preached and thousands are coming to know Jesus. I have some friends in Tulsa, man and his wife, and they go to Pakistan and India and some other countries. And they'll put on a crusade and 10, 15, 20, 25, up to 65 or 75,000 people will be saved in a week. And that's just not one of those, you know, preacher's guess. Let me see. We got 150 people here this morning. No, we don't. They bust those people in from all the native villages. And they have a Christian worker on every bus, and on the way home, two questions. Did you get saved? Did you get healed? And so when they say that 25,000 people were saved, and usually it's not 25,000 even, it's 25,398 or whatever. Then those workers have turned in 25,398 names. And those same workers go to those villages and start a church with the people from that village that came to know Jesus. You see, the word of God, when Jesus is lifted up in power, people are still being saved. We need for Jesus to be lifted up in America once again. Not some cultural religion, not some cultural Christianity, but Jesus. And when Jesus is lifted up, that which is dead can live. I challenge you. This week, find somebody that needs Jesus and share. Be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And He will lead you, and you may have to go back 10 more times. But just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be surprised what God can do in bringing that which is dead to life again. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for just a moment? Here's a time of invitation. If there's anyone that needs to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you walk down the aisle and we'll receive you. If there's somebody that needs to come to the altar and just pray. Search your heart. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Who's He putting on your heart that's spiritually dead that He wants you to be a part of the birthing process to bring them to Jesus? It's not always easy. You think of Ananias in the book of Acts. And the Lord says to Ananias, I want you to go talk to Saul. And Ananias said, Lord, are you kidding me? He's been putting people into prison. He's been killing Christians. But Ananias obeyed and Saul became Paul, that great missionary. Could you be the key to the next Billy Graham? The next Apostle Paul? Who's the Lord put on your heart that needs Jesus? Father God, You've been in the creation process from day one when You created the world. And You can take that which is dead spiritually and make it alive. And Father, we thank You for the great mercy that saved us, has given us eternal life. And Father, give us opportunity and anointing to share Jesus with people this day, this week, this month, this year. That there might be people that would come up to us in heaven and say, thank You. I'm here because You prophesied over my spiritually dead life and I came alive. Now the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.